Hi, I'm Rhea.
And I'm Dwayne.
And we are your hosts of the Travel Party of Five podcast, where we share how we travel as a family of five around the world.
We will also share how we use points and miles to travel as affordably as possible, and sometimes even completely free.
So if you're wanting to travel more with your family, but you're not sure how, we'd love for you to listen in.
So welcome to our podcast, where we hope you learn a thing or two to get you closer to your next trip.
Hey guys, welcome back to Travel Party of Five podcast.
Yes, welcome back. Thank you for listening.
Little bit of a different episode today. We are just going to do some Q&A and then give an update on our upcoming trips and kind of talk a little bit more in depth about the planning process, because that is what I think I get the most questions about. So Dwayne has a list of questions that we get asked, I would say, most often by friends, family, really anyone who we talk to about traveling as much as we do. And
yep, using points and...
And how are we able to do it affordably? So do you have any updates before we jump in?
We're going to Costa Rica here pretty soon. We're getting excited about that and about what?
Yeah, like less than 2 months. Yep. So maybe 6 weeks, I think it is.
Excited to do a podcast about that.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And we'll talk a little bit about what we have planned. Or maybe not what we have planned, but how we've been approaching the planning. Okay, how I've been approaching the planning process at the end of this. Sound good?
Sounds good.
All right, so let's just jump right in to question number one.
So first question, why don't more people do this, and why are people hesitant?
I'm curious to know what you think about this too, because I feel like we have a pretty similar mindset around travel and how it's really important because of the way that we each grew up, but I also think, like, if I wasn't here to plan the trips, like, you probably wouldn't go to very many places. Is that true?
No, I mean, not true. I would go to places. I just would be using my employee perks.
Oh, yeah.
Through the hotel I work for.
Yeah, I don't know. I think we maybe have talked about it once or twice, but Dwayne does work for a hotel chain that we really love. And so he does have some employee benefits that go along with that.
Definitely wouldn't be using points, though.
No, you probably. Yeah, no, you wouldn't. Okay, but so back to the question. So I think that I think that to most people in the world, travel is something that we think positively of. I think people think positively of travel, and it's something that they would aspire to do at some point. And when I think most people are like, oh, I would love to go there someday. And that is kind of the thought process that, you know, is what they think throughout their whole life. And then eventually someday is gone and doesn't happen anymore. And so I think there are other people who are like, I'm going to go this year, you know, and then they take the steps to make it happen. And so, and let me add, like, if you don't like to travel, or like traveling is not your thing, like, that's fine. You're probably not listening to this podcast, but like, that's okay. I just think that there are two types of people. And one is the people who think travel sounds really fun, but they don't want to put in the effort and the time that goes along with planning a trip, especially a trip for a larger family like we have.
Yeah, which is a lot, actually.
It is a lot of time. And I feel like it is a lot of time, but it doesn't necessarily have to be if you're okay with a lot of like ambiguity on a trip. Yep. But I am not. And it's harder to go with the flow and not really plan things when you have three little kids too that are coming. So
yeah, I'm definitely go with the flow.
Dwayne would show up on a trip with zero plans and have a great time no matter what.
Yep.
And I mean, maybe I could too, but with the kids, it just makes it harder because there are logistics that need to be planned and you have to think about their safety and what are they going to eat? And it's just a lot more involved than if it were just you or just you and I going on a trip. So to answer the question, I just think that there are a lot of people who really like the idea of travel, but are not willing to put in the time and effort and sometimes money that goes along with it. And I think that there's nothing wrong with that. That is perfectly okay. But I think that's the ultimate reason, because when I start to tell people about how we use points and like kind of the, you know, the process of we open credit cards and we get these points and then we, you know, use these points to transfer to hotels or airlines or whatever, they just start to look at me sometimes with like their eyes glazed over as if like, oh, I could never do that. And I mean, that's fine. Like, that's fine, right? It's not for everyone and that's okay. But I just think like that's why. And if travel is truly a priority for you, then you're going to find a way, one way or another. And if travel is just a nice to have once in a while, then you're probably not. And that's okay. Either way is fine.
Yep.
But I think that's why more people don't take advantage of this. And, you know, maybe there's also some people that just are not aware that this is like a legitimate thing.
All right. So question number two.
Okay.
What do you do if you apply and you get denied for a credit card?
So it depends on the issuer of the card, because some this work for and some it doesn't. But for Chase, for example, which is the most common one and the one that we would recommend most people start with, you have to do what's kind of known as a reconsideration call. So basically they deny you and they'll give you a letter. It either comes in the mail, or if you already have a Chase account, they will also send it to you like via secure message, and it will tell you why they've denied you. And the reasons are, you know, obviously dependent on your credit and your situation, but sometimes it will be like you have too much credit or too many cards or whatever. There's lots of reasons.
I've had to make that call before, haven't I?
Yes, we had to do a recon call for your Southwest card when we were getting the companion passes. And so was it hard?
No, not at all. It's pretty easy actually.
But like I wrote you a whole script. Yeah, do you remember?
I do.
And I was like, you just have to say this. And we did it in the car, like on our way to dinner one night when the kids were not there. And he ended up finally just being like, can you just talk to my wife about this? And so then I talked to the girl. Because it wasn't hard, but it was just a lot of questions, right? And so, for example, you're an authorized user on one or two of my cards, like my older cards. And we did that actually a while ago when we bought our first home to increase your credit score. Because length of credit history is one of the factors that goes into a credit score. And they had just wanted to know, like, are you responsible for the balances on those cards, which are zero? But we just had to say no. Mm-hmm. And they had a few other questions, and then they put us on hold, and then they said, congratulations, you've been approved. Like, you'll get the card in 7 to 10 days.
Pretty easy.
Yeah. So you just basically, you're just calling Chase and you're saying, hey, I applied for this card, I got denied, and I'm calling to ask you to reconsider. And there are lots of scripts online that you could find, but that's basically the gist of it. And usually they're going to transfer you to a different department, and then they're going to say, like, why do you want this card? And it's really good to have one or two reasons that have nothing to do with the points, because what you don't want to say is, I'm trying to get these, you know, 80,000 sign up bonus points. You don't want to say that, but you want to say, I have some upcoming travel and I'd really like to get the, you know, 2 or 3% or 2 or 3x on travel purchases, or I have an upcoming, you know, appliance purchase or office supply, whatever the card benefit is, just use that as your reason for why you want the card. They may ask you a few questions, then they're probably going to put you on hold, and then they will let you know whether or not you've been approved. Now, here's the thing. Sometimes you have to call more than once because it is very dependent on the representative that you get on the phone. And so it is not uncommon to have to call back 2, 3, 4 times sometimes, because sometimes you're just going to get a representative that doesn't know the actual rules. Maybe they're new or they're having a bad day or whatever. So we didn't have to, we only called once for years.
Yep.
But it, like if you get, if you do a recon call and they tell you no again, I would hang up and call right back. And I would try at least 3 to 4 times before giving up.
Yep.
Yeah, I think that answers that.
Yeah.
What else do we have?
Question number 3. So what if your credit score is below a 640?
So I think one, you need to consider why. Like, why is it below 640? And pull a full credit report so you can see, like, what is counting against you. And if you have current credit card balances, this is not a hobby that I would recommend until those are paid off. And if you can, if you're confident you can be responsible with credit card usage, because you can get into trouble if you're carrying a balance. And that basically negates the whole idea of free or cheap travel when you're paying interest on a credit card.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry, what was the question? Oh, 640 credit score. Okay. So if you're like way below, you need to find out why. And whatever those reasons are, sometimes the only thing that can fix it is time. Sometimes you can send a letter, like a goodwill letter to a creditor asking them to remove this like one late payment that you might have. Or sometimes it's, you know, your debt to, not debt to income, but that's when you buy a house. If you're, oh, credit utilization, that's what I was going to say. So if you have $10,000 worth of credit and you have a $5,000 credit card balance, you have a 50% credit utilization rate, which is very high. But if you have $100,000 worth of credit and a $5,000 balance, then you only have a 5% utilization rate, and that's pretty low. That's fine. So get your credit report. We like Experian Boost. I think we talked about that in a previous episode, and see what is counting against you and then go from there. If you're like right on the edge, this, you were right on the edge when we first started travel hacking. You remember?
Kind of. What was my,
so we have an auto, we have no debt, like no credit card debt, but we had, we had just last year, or no, 2 years ago now, taken out an auto loan, and it's in Dwayne's name.
Yep.
And so that has a higher, I mean, it's not that high. It's like 11,000 right now, but it was probably 20 plus thousand.
It's like last 20, year. 24, I think.
That's what it was to start with. Yeah. So. And so we had to, we pulled your credit report. There was two issues. One was like a medical bill that we had actually paid, and so we had to call and get it, like we called, it was a kind of convoluted story, but we called the urgent care place that it was from. They acknowledged that yes, this was paid, and that they would report that to the credit agency. And remember when we did the recon call for your credit card, the Southwest credit card, she asked about that. And she said, like, tell me about this. And so we explained the story that this is a, this debt has been paid and should never have been reported. And she said, you know what? I actually do see a note in here that says something along those lines. So it, they did report something to the credit agency.
Yep.
And then you also had one late payment on a Kohl's card that was more than 30 days late.
Shout out to Kohl's.
And I didn't know about that. And so, I mean, I knew about the card, but I didn't realize that we had had a late payment. And so what we did was we literally found a template online. It's called a goodwill letter. And we printed it out. We typed it up. We said, and I should add, it was the only late payment in his history of that card. So we typed up this letter that basically said, like, apologies for missing this payment. As you can see, it was the only one. And I don't remember what explanation we put, but we said, is there any way you could please remove this?
I've been good paying on time as of.
Yeah, I have more than, you know, 12 plus months of on time payment history. This was a fluke. And they did. They never sent us anything back, but it just was gone off your credit report within maybe 60 days, I would say.
Yep.
So there are things that you can do to boost your score. We should probably do a whole episode about that. But if you're on the cusp, I would say don't lose hope. And you just got to figure out what is counting against your credit score and then figure out how to fix it. And like I said, sometimes it's time and sometimes you can take some action.
Yep. And now my credit score is way up there.
It is. Yeah. We both have great credit.
Yep.
So.
Yep. All right. Next question. Will this ruin my credit?
Oh, okay. That goes right in line. So, excuse me. No, it will not ruin your credit, because here's the thing. You have to think of your credit score. It's almost like a game. And if you don't play the game, your score can go down. So your credit score is comprised of a lot of things, on-time payment history, credit utilization rate, number of cards opened recently. And your credit score is also like a moving target. So it will go up and down depending on the day or the time of the month and what kind of balances you have on your cards on the day that you check them or that you check your score. Your score can vary. Right now, mine is around 775, and I think yours is, I don't know, 760 something. So upper 70s, and people are going to talk about having an 800 plus credit score, and maybe we'll get there one day. I don't know. Well, I have a house loan in my name and you have a car loan. So maybe when the car loan gets paid off, yours will jump up a little bit. But I think once you're in the higher 700s of credit score, there really is no benefit to get it higher. And so if our scores go above 800, that's great. Love it. But if they don't, like, it's not hindering us in any way.
Everything's going to be all right.
I mean, knock on wood, I've actually never been denied for a credit card yet. I personally have never had to do a recon call. Mm. So.
Well, we won't get into my credit history back when I was in my early 20s.
Oh, Lord. When we went to buy our first house, you can imagine my shock when Dwayne's credit score was higher than mine was, because I have, you know, always paid things on time and whatever, but I had student loans and all that, which those are paid off now. But Dwayne had many credit cards that he was not responsible with in his younger days.
Not
and
one.
After 7 years, they do fall off your credit report. Yeah. So
thank Jesus for that.
Yeah. So, yeah, I just think, like, you know what? People's credit score is, I think, that one of the top two reasons that people don't get involved in travel hacking. And I just think there's a lot of misconceptions about it. And, like, if your credit score drops 15 or 20 points one day, like, it's okay. The world is not going to end and it is going to go back up, as long as you're not missing payments or anything like that. You know, you have to play the game correctly.
Yeah. Be responsible.
And, you know, carrying balances is, it's what the credit card company wants, but it's actually not necessary for your credit score. So I think that people, like, the fear that people have around their credit score dropping is what keeps people from doing this. And I am here to tell you, actually, both of our scores have gone up, because, like I said, yours was around 640-ish when we started doing this, and now it's 750 something.
Yeah.
And mine was like 670, I think, or 680. And now it's 775. So, and that's in 1 year.
Yeah. So it's doable. The goal is reachable.
It's doable. And I think, like, you know, there are guys out there like Dave Ramsey, who, while I think he has some great advice if you're getting into learning how to budget, he is very anti-credit card. And I mean, my dad is anti-credit card, and it was my whole life. And so I think that's why I didn't really get into travel hacking until later in life, is because I always had this, like, credit cards are bad kind of mentality. And
yeah. Well, I mean, they can be if you're not responsible with them. You
yes.
know, they could yes. ruin some things.
For I you. Mean, I definitely had, I used, I am, well, we both are from the era where you'd go to, like, when you went to college, there would just be credit card companies just outside your dorm room or your wherever your like activity center was, and they would give you a free t-shirt for signing up for their credit card. And when you are 18, 19 years old, like that is, that seems like a great deal. And so, I mean, I had credit card debt almost throughout my whole 20s.
I remember when way back in the day, someone told me I can take money out from my credit card at like ATM.
Like a cash advance?
Yeah. Oh, I was like, what? Let's go.
Oh my God. The interest on that is so high.
I had no idea. I had no idea.
Oof.
Yep. 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 Oh, to be young.
Goodness gracious. Well, anyways, I think moral of the story is your credit score is a game. And if you get into travel hacking, you are essentially playing the game, which is going to make your score increase as long as you play it correctly.
Yep.
All right. What else we got?
All right. So, you know, everyone always asks us how we plan, how long does it take? So, I mean, the next question would be how far ahead do we need to plan for the trips that we take and what we do on those trips?
So this is a little bit of a personal preference and a little bit of what it like kind of what you need to do in order to travel with the bigger family. So we have three kids. There are two of us plus three kids. There are five of us, and finding points availability on things like flights and hotels is easier to do if you book farther out. So we book 13 months out if we can. Every time. And so that means that right now it is January of 2024 and I am thinking about our trips for 2025.
Yep.
And now, like, I feel like this freaks a lot of people out because they look at me with big eyes and they're like, oh my God, like I could never plan that far ahead. And it's like, well, okay, here's the thing. You don't have to plan that far ahead, but we know where we want to go. And we know that, especially overseas, we are likely going to need two rooms to accommodate our family in most places. And so for us, that is a combination of either finding two different rooms available on points or finding points availability combined with using some of your free nights that you get for your employee benefit package.
Or an employee rate. What?
Yeah, well, the employee rate is easier to find, but the free nights are a little more challenging. And in the really popular or fancier hotels, they book up instantly. Like the second it becomes available, it is booked. And so we have to plan ahead in part for that and in part because points availability also books up really fast. So I just think it's like what you're comfortable with. If you are comfortable with, you know, kind of not really having full control over where you go and you just want to go somewhere, then yeah, you could book, you know, a month, 2 months, 3 months in advance and be fine. But, you know, you're going to have to go where the availability is. And so, but if you are like, for example, we want to go to Japan. We are going to Japan in 2025. I want to stay at the Park Hyatt Kyoto, which is a very nice hotel. And we are going to book that as soon as it becomes available.
Yeah.
But if I'm just like, oh, I want to go on vacation somewhere this summer, you know, I'm just going to go. I'm going to look up some different options and I'm going to see what's available and I'm going to book it if it's available. And, you know, I just think it depends on your style as a traveler. Yep. And I am a planner.
Definitely a planner. A great planner.
Yeah. And now that's not to say like, because you can find some really good points availability, especially if you're trying to fly first class or business class, like for one or two people. I mean, some people say the sweet spot is like 2 weeks before or 1 week before, but like we both have jobs. We have kids in school, you know, and like we can't fly off business class to like Singapore at the drop of a dime.
Nope.
So, and if we did, we would need five seats and, you know, first of all, finding five business class seats is probably next to impossible. We are not flying that with all of our kids. My kids can fly in economy just like just like I do and have my whole life. I don't know. Do you think I answered that question? What do you think?
Well, I mean, yeah, it's definitely a personal preference.
I just think planning ahead gives you the most control over where you're going to go and where you can stay.
Yeah. You know, and once you plan it, you got to go, you know, I mean, you don't have to, but it kicks your ass into gear.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. Any other questions?
No questions. I think we'll just talk about our upcoming trips a little. And
yeah, so I guess that, yeah. So that last question is like a good segue into that then, because so we're going to go to Costa Rica in a couple months, 6 weeks maybe.
Yep.
Everything is booked. We're staying in mostly Airbnbs. I think we've already maybe talked about this, so I won't go into depth too much, but we have a rental car booked and we have a few different tours booked and a kind of rough itinerary of what we're going to do. And so that trip is pretty much done. We just kind of got to pack and show up. And
why are we in Airbnbs this time?
Because I didn't, you know why? It's a great question. I did not plan far enough ahead to get availability at there's a really nice Hyatt, Andaz, Papagayo, and it's in the Guanacaste region of Costa Rica. And I really, really wanted to stay there, but I did not book far enough in advance. So they don't, and it's peak travel time.
Yeah.
That's the other thing that probably I should have mentioned is when you have a bigger family and you are traveling during peak times, which is spring break, summer, and then we also have a fall break here in Arizona. But spring break and summer specifically are harder because not only are we trying to travel because our kids are out of school, but so is everyone else.
Yep.
And so that's another reason why it can be, you know, necessary to book or plan farther in advance. And you know what I should have added too is most hotels, well, Hyatt, for example, which is where we prefer to stay, they open up their bookings 13 months out. It's usually like maybe 12 months and 25 days or so. It's never exactly 13 months, but around there.
Yep.
And it will tell you, like, you can think like, oh, this is exactly 13 months, and you'll try to book and it'll say that's, you know, longer than the 13 month booking horizon or something like that. But if you come back tomorrow and check it, it'll probably be available. So, we're staying in Airbnbs because even if we were to get a room at the Andaz, we would have needed two rooms. And so.
Yeah. But some really, really nice Airbnbs.
They are nice. It's just Airbnbs make me a little bit nervous because if something happens and the host cancels, there is no recourse for us. Like, where are we going to stay? You know, so.
God, does that happen?
It does happen. And it just makes me nervous. So I try to only book with super hosts, which is what we have booked. And they look very nice and it will be fine. We're excited. I think it's going to be a good time.
It's going
to
be a great time.
Hopefully have lots to report back on. And then I'm currently working on the itinerary for my mom. My sister and I are going to Europe in May. And I am responsible for the itinerary primarily because they won't do it.
And you're good at doing it, you know. I mean it sucks that that's the case, but you're great at planning.
My brain is good at taking a large amount of information and
deciding things. You're going because your sister's 30th birthday.
Yep, she turns 30 and she will turn 30 on the trip, so we're gonna do Florence, the Amalfi Coast, and then a couple days in Paris on our way back. Nice. And so
I think I just went to work on my 30th birthday.
I turned 30 on a overnight train to Amsterdam. And so that's kind of why we're continuing this little tradition with her. And so that should be fun. So I'm in the process of planning that. So we have all of our accommodations booked. We're doing a hotel in Florence and we're doing an Airbnb in the Amalfi Coast, primarily because there are not a lot of chain hotels there. And the hotels that are there are incredibly expensive. It's just a very expensive area to visit, but we found a really nice Airbnb that is pretty affordable when split between the three of us. So Yep. So just working on accommodations for that. And we will take trains and stuff once we're in Europe. So we're not going to rent a car or anything like that. And then we're going to Kauai in...
Well, we have some small trips.
Well, yeah, we do. But I haven't planned. I mean...
San Diego, Oceanside.
Oh, yeah. We're going to do that.
Which you really don't need to plan anything for because you just go there to hang out and enjoy the weather and scenery.
And so then... For Kauai, I have our flights there booked and our hotel is booked. And we actually got a club access award gifted to us. Ooh, ooh. So I'm excited because basically what that means is we will have access to the club at the hotel. We're staying at the Grand Hyatt Kauai. And we will have access to the club, which means free breakfast and like evening, afternoon snacks also free. And so...
And we've heard that sometimes the snack is chicken wings.
Yeah. And we have a kid who loves chicken wings.
I also like chicken wings.
And so we're hoping that we can also get a few dinners out of that as well. And so that is going to be a big money saver for us on this trip. And then, so let's talk about, so it is January 2024 and I am thinking about our 2025 trips because... the booking window is going to open pretty soon for those. So I think we've already talked about this, but Japan and Europe are our two bigger destinations for 2025. Here's the thing I was thinking though, just this morning, I haven't even talked to you about this yet, but we are trying to get globalist status this year. And part of why we're trying to do that is because we want to use it and save money when we go to Japan and
How are we going to save money? Elaborate on that.
So globalists with Hyatt get free breakfast and...
Free breakfast?
Yeah, free breakfast. So it's like a nice breakfast. And then...
it's for like two adults and two children.
Two adults, two kids.
But I talked to a front desk manager and he basically says if someone comes with global status, they just... Typically, just everyone gets it free.
Yeah, and so I think that depends on the property... And some will. So we have five. But also our youngest is really, she'll be five at that time. So they may just let her eat for free anyways, regardless of our status. But I think it's property dependent. So yeah. I think we'll expect to maybe pay for one, but hopefully not have to. And you also get suite upgrades and all that fun stuff. I think we talked about globalist on a recent episode.
Yeah, we briefly touched it probably.
But okay, here's what I was thinking though. So we... are trying to get this status. And then our tentative plan was kind of Europe, like end of May, once the kids are out of school, like for 2 weeks, and then Japan on fall break, which is end of September, beginning of October. But then I just feel like we're going to have so long without a trip from, you know, like October of this year to May of next year. That's a long time to not travel for me. And so I was thinking like maybe we could try to add on just one little trip in March somewhere. Because it just feels like if we're going to get globalist status, we should really try to take advantage of it and use it as much as we can.
Oh, I agree. Yeah, why not?
But here's the thing. If we want to take a trip in March of 2025, then we have to book it in February of this year.
Which is soon.
Very soon. So I guess I need to think about that and... And the other thing is the points. Like, we do not have unlimited points. So we have to come up with a game plan for how we're going to have enough points to get us all flights to Japan and Europe and wherever else we decide to go. So, I mean, this is definitely not a hobby that takes no time. Like, it does take time.
Yeah, it is definitely a process.
And... I just think that this is why some people don't do it, right? Some people don't want to take the time or whatever. And again, that is okay. Like, I'm not saying you have to do this, but it is something that is very important to me. And I think that for people that it is really important to, I think you find a way. I think about these trips all day, every day. I have a Google Doc for every place that we want to visit in the near future. And I listen to podcasts when I am driving to the gym or when I'm picking up or when I'm at the gym or when I'm, you know, driving to pick up the kids. And I I get ideas from people who have done these trips.
Sometimes while I'm at work, I'll just get an email on a hotel confirmation that I had no idea about. You know, it's like, oh, thank you for, congratulations
on your on booking this hotel. And
I'm like, oh, tell my coworkers, it looks like I'm going here in May.
that's also true. So, but I mean, I don't know. To me, it's worth it. And I think it's fun. It is like a game to me that I enjoy playing. And so that's not for everyone, but that is how I look at it. So, yeah. Do you think we covered it all?
Yeah, I think so. Hopefully this was, you know, somewhat helpful for you. Yeah.
I think here. Okay. So I want to give like some helpful tips if someone is maybe not a planner or is, you know, a little bit overwhelmed by this. So I would just say, like, pick 1 to 3 places that you would like to go to and try to see where you could fit them in on your calendar. And then start opening up some cards to get points that'll get you there. So the thing that I'm thinking about right now is, what kind of points do we need in order to get all 5 of us to Japan? And again, because remember, we talked in a previous episode about the different points are kind of like different ecosystems or currencies, and they transfer to different partners. So I like to save our Chase points for Hyatt, but Chase also travels to Air France, which is probably what we will use to fly to Europe, because they have a discount on kids' fares. Like, I think it's 25% off. Yep.
And they just announced a nonstop flight from Phoenix to Paris. France.
Yeah, which is exciting. That's supposed to start happening in May. I already looked up availability and try to see how many points, but it's not on the web. It's not showing on the website yet. So, but they don't start running that route until May. So hopefully in the next month or two, we will be able to see what that's going to cost, because that would be amazing. But there are a lot of airlines that fly to Japan that is not a, like, Chase is not a great transfer partner for. So I'm thinking that we're going to have to dive into the American Express ecosystem soon, which we have not done yet, because then they have what's called membership rewards points, which can transfer to airlines like Cathay Pacific and I think also Japan Airlines. The other option is Alaska, which also transfers to Japan, but Alaska miles don't really transfer anywhere else. And I don't know that we could get enough miles between the two of us to fly all 5 of us there and back. So, see, these are the things that you have to consider, and that's why it really helps to plan ahead too, because if you wanted to take a trip, you know, let's say in the summer of this year, you should have opened up your cards to get the points like 3 months ago, probably at a minimum. But does that mean that it's too late for you to travel this summer? No.
Of course not.
Open up a card or two, get some points, and then see what's available, you know? Probably avoid Europe because of the Olympics this summer.
Yeah.
Cool. I know this was kind of a mishmash of an episode, but hopefully we've answered maybe some common questions that you might be having as you're listening and kind of trying to decide, is this a hobby I want to get involved in or not? Is this something that I could do? And I think if you have any other questions, maybe we could talk about that in a future episode. So you can either find us on Instagram, travel_party5. Or you could also email us Raya, at travelpartyoffive.com.
Yeah. Well, we thank you for listening. We appreciate you.
Would love if you would hit the subscribe button or leave a review or both. That would be amazing, because that helps more people find our podcast, and we appreciate it so much.
All right.
Catch you on the next. Ooh, guess what? We're going to talk about Hawaii next time. I didn't tell you that yet, but we're going to talk about Hawaii. So, cool.
All righty. Tune in.
Catch you on the next one. Bye.